concerning the Lord's timetable and how Christ will return and not to lose the faith, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Peter says, here's the idea. Make sure that you are prepared when the Lord returns, because we don't know when that day is going to be, because that time, as it says a few verses before verse 9, is going to come like a thief in the night. We don't know when Christ is going to be here, but you better be prepared when He does. But then it's the question that Peter asks, basically through the inspiration of God, obviously, in verse 11, concerning all these things are going to pass away. When Christ returns, the earth is going to be taken up in a fervent heat. Nothing's going to be left. But here's the question that's going to help us focus better tonight on the word kindness in verse 11. He says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" So let's ask that question again. Peter says, when all these things are gone away, when the Lord finally does return, whenever that day might be, what manner of person are you going to be when you stand before Him on the day of judgment? In all conversation, that means manner of life, your characteristics, and all purity and all godliness, when you stand before the Lord, what are some of the godly characteristic traits that you're going to have on the judgment day that you'll be found faithful before God? One of the words we often find throughout the Holy Scriptures is the word kindness. As a matter of fact, in relation to God's kindness towards us in Colossians 2, He talks about that He expressed His kindness towards us based upon what He did for us at the cross of Calvary. So when you think about the nature of who God is, kindness encompasses who God is, but at the same time, we have to have the attributes as God does. We're to have the mind of Christ, Philippians 2 and verse 5. And all of these things encompass the idea of what it means to be kind, what it means to be tender-hearted. And over the last several weeks, we've looked at several different words that encompass this idea. Because guess what, brethren? You can't show mercy if you're not kind. You can't be loving if you're not kind. You can't be forgiving if you're not kind. So all of these things that encompass who we are as individual Christians, kindness is really at the center of all these things, because it's how we express being tender-hearted and expressing our kindness towards someone that really shows who we are as Christians. And sometimes that's not always an easy thing. I understand that. But I find it interesting the language that the Bible uses when addressing the need to develop these various attributes to our lives as Christians. And in Colossians 3:12 it says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, those that are called out of the world, those that God has chosen to be His children, those who have put on Christ in baptism." He says, "As the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering." So these are the qualities that we're supposed to have. But it's interesting that Paul says here, to put on therefore as the elect of God, these specific attributes and these specific qualities. So what Paul's saying is this: when you get up in the morning, not only are you getting dressed physically, but you're also getting dressed spiritually. So not only do I have to put on my clothes physically speaking, I've got to also put on my spiritual outfit, and I've got to envelop all these things because I've got to address the fact of who I am as a Christian when I go out into the world. Now, is it always easy to be kind in the world that we live in today? No, it's not. Sometimes we really don't want to be kind, do we? Sometimes the people that we run into aren't exactly the type that you want to be kind to. And I understand that. Sometimes people can be pretty hateful. Sometimes people can be pretty animated when you cut them off in traffic. It's not exactly kind, is it? But at the same time, what we reciprocate towards those individuals expresses the nature and character of who God is. Because when you think about what we did to Jesus at the cross of Calvary, it was not exactly kind. Yet God expressed His kindness towards us, showing the mercies and the forgiveness and loving kindness in sending His Son to die on the cross of Calvary. So how do we express the idea of kindness? More so, how do we put on the idea of kindness? In Ephesians 4 and verse 32, it says, "And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." So in relation to forgiveness, as we've already talked about, you can't have it without kindness. So all of these things envelop and go together. But when we wake up each morning, we need to be wise about the attitude that we select to wear for that day. Kindness has been described as love in action, or as the dictionary defines it, pleasant disposition and concern for other people. Let me say that again. Pleasant disposition on Monday morning and concern for other people. Pleasant disposition when you don't have that cup of coffee and concern for other people. But what about if we have a really, really bad weekend or a bad day? Is it easy to express kindness towards individuals perhaps we think don't deserve it? So that's a whole different ballpark. That's a different question, Larry. And we'll talk about that here in just a few moments. But the command is not merely feel like being kind, but Ephesians 4:32 says to be actively kind. So it's a constant expression that I must show in who I am as a child of God, putting on, just as we put on the full armor of God that He gives us in protecting ourselves from the wiles of the devil who's walking about this world trying to devour us, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, we've also got to put on these other characteristics of what it means to be a Christian. And sometimes it's not always an easy thing to do. So what's the motivation for us? I mean, why should we be kind? After all, sometimes being kind can be risky, can't it? Sometimes people want to take advantage of our kindness, don't they? I can't tell you how many times I've had people call the church building or that will come by a specific church looking for a handout only to know that they're not going to use that money or whatever we give them for what it should be intended for. But does that negate my kindness as a Christian and what I show them? You know, I've got a tender heart for veterans when I see them homeless on the side of the road begging for money. And there's been times that I've stopped, not to pat myself on the back, but I've given them money to perhaps buy a meal or something. Now, if they use it for something else, does that negate my kindness as a Christian because I'm trying to express that towards them? No. But what we have to understand is the characteristics of expressing kindness isn't always out of the act of us wanting to, but it's because we have to in being Christians. We've got to express that to be tenderhearted and loving. You see, people sometimes, you know, show kindness because they want to take advantage of them. But yet God faced even more far risk of being kind. Notice what Paul writes in Titus 3:4. But after that, the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. You see, God showed His loving kindness to us through Christ, Ephesians 2 and verse 7. So you see, kindness is good for me, and that should be my motivation based upon what God did for me at Calvary. It always goes back to the cross, doesn't it? To keep our mind focused on the cross of Calvary, all of this draws our attention to who Christ is and what God did for us. You see, I think we do personally benefit when we're kind. And I'm not merely talking about that people will tend to be nice to us if we're nice to them. We're kind because God was kind to us. The Proverbs writer says in Proverbs 21:21, "He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor." But I want to talk just for a few moments that we have tonight on the elements of kindness. And I think if we use these specific elements in relation to what it means to be kind, to put that kindness in action, it better helps us to serve those who need to be served. Remember, a good and great disposition, right, towards other people. First, we have to, and sometimes this is hard, to be sensitive. Now, men, I know that's not always easy for us, is it? To be sensitive towards those we need to be kind to. People who are practicing kindness, you see, are aware of the needs of those that are around them. Sensitive to their concerns and their cares, their wants as well as their desires. Paul expressed this in Philippians 2 and verse 4. "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Remember, Christianity is not about serving self anymore because we put away the old self when we put on Christ. And when we put on this act of kindness, when we put on, that is, clothing ourselves in what it means to be kind as a Christian, we're looking out for those who perhaps aren't exactly kind towards us. Kindness starts with getting my mind off myself and my problems and noticing those around me. And sometimes kindness can pay off. You remember Nathan Franson that was here just a few weeks back doing the Mormon seminar. Well, Nathan and I did mission work in Russia. And we had spent 7 hours in a layover in St. Petersburg, Russia, coming back. We were tired. It had been a long 3 weeks. It had been a cold 3 weeks. But I remember finally as they let us into the international section to go through the checkpoints, but then we had to go and check our bags, but also you have to pay a baggage fee. And it's not always cheap coming back because it's based upon your weight. And we had a lot of the Searching for Truth DVDs that we were bringing back with us. Well, Nathan went up, and not that he was being mean, but Nathan was tired, but also at the same time he was joking with her, but not in a particular way that she cared. And the first question he asked her was, "Do you speak English?" She said, "Do you speak Russian?" But you can tell she was not having a good day. She was not happy. She did not want to be there. There was a lot of people in line behind us. You can tell she was tired and she was ready to call it a day. Well, when she tallied up Nathan's bag fees, it was almost $300. I said to myself, "Larry, put yourself in her shoes." So I walked him and said, "I just want you to know, I appreciate what you're doing, and I understand you're probably tired and you don't want to be here, but I just want you to know I'm thankful for you helping us get through this process of us international travelers, because this isn't easy." Larry's bag fees for the same weight, $44. Sometimes kindness will get you a long way. As the old adage goes, you catch more flies with honey than you do vinegar. But it's an expression of who we are as God's children, of showing kindness and being sensitive towards the needs of others and understanding that we have to put ourselves in their shoes sometimes. But also that we've got to show sympathy. I know that we often feel unqualified to help people who are hurting in sometimes awkward situations that seem difficult for us. In June, I'm going to do an Understanding Grief seminar, just for a few hours on a Saturday, because I think it's something that people fully don't grasp nor understand how to handle not only their own grief, but also perhaps the grief of others. And it doesn't necessarily relate always to death. If you lose a job, if you lose a spouse to divorce, or a child that's walked away from the church, that's grief. If you lose your car keys, that's grief. Because it frustrates us. But in relation to kindness and showing sympathy towards individuals, sometimes we confuse what true kindness is and we open our mouths and insert our foots. Right? Let me give you a case in point in understanding sympathy. And especially when it relates to kindness towards individuals. What's the first thing we often say to someone when they lose a loved one? "I'm sorry." Maybe perhaps because we've lost a loved one, what do we say? "I know what you're going through." No, you don't. You have no idea what that particular person is going through at that moment based upon their feeling, on how they're feeling, on what they've lost, because it's different for everybody. But to show kindness towards the individual, brethren, is simply this. Just be there and keep your mouth shut. That's the greatest kindness in the act of kindness that you can show to someone, that you love them, and showing sympathy for them is simply being in the room with them. And sometimes we feel like we have to say something to be sympathetic towards someone. Sometimes a simple touch, a simple look, a simple pat on the back is all you have to say to show kindness. Remember at the beginning of the sermon I said kindness is simply putting it into action. It's not always saying it, but it's also showing it. And we've got to be sympathetic towards individuals who might be struggling, and we do that through kindness. We do that through showing mercy and love, as we've talked about over the last few weeks. That's how we express the idea of what kindness is. Paul said that one of the qualities that someone who is the Lord's servant is that they are kind to all, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, or gentle, as some versions say. And sometimes being gentle is simply being there and not saying anything at all. That's kindness. But also, some are better at this than others, straightforward. Sometimes kindness realizes there's a need to be frank or candid. Sometimes you've just got to say it like it is, especially if somebody's soul is in jeopardy. Speaking the truth in love, as it tells us in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, right? Telling someone the truth and laying it on the line or leveling with people is also a demonstration of kindness, because we don't want to see anyone perish. Just as Peter was telling the brethren in 2 Peter chapter 3, brethren, the Lord is long-suffering, He's patient, He doesn't want anybody to perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the idea of laying it out there and telling somebody who's lost in sin is being kind, because you don't want to see them spend a lifetime in an eternity of hell. And sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? But brethren, guess what? That's kindness. That's expressing the attitude of love and mercy towards an individual that needs to hear it. What did Nathan say to David? You are the man, David. Do you think he did that because he was just happy that David had made a mistake and slipped? Do you think he wanted to be the person who had to go and tell David that the Lord was not happy with him? But what did he say? David, thou art the man. And what did David realize? It pained him in that he repented of what he had done. Why? Because Nathan was straightforward with him. He didn't leave anything to chance. Solomon noted, faithful are the words of a friend. And sometimes we have to do that. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 4 and verse 16 concerning the truth and the Judaizing Christians there? And they weren't exactly happy with Paul and the expression of truth that he was telling them. And what did Paul say? Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Paul said, I'm doing this not to boast of myself, as he says in Galatians 6:14, because he gloried in nothing save the cross of Jesus Christ. But he said, am I your enemy because I'm here to tell you the truth and save your souls? He was being kind, but he was also being straightforward. You see, there are times to tell someone you're about to make a big mistake, because kindness really cares. Kindness is concern. Being straightforward does not mean offering a hit-and-run type of advice either. Kindness will speak up when it's necessary, but kindness will equally stick around and help that person change too. It's not just simply saying it and moving on. It's helping the person be better through your act of kindness. And again, just as we go back to the idea of sympathy, of just simply being there for the person. But also, brethren, be spontaneous. There are times, you know, we can plan kindness, and there's times that the opportunity to be kind simply arise without planning on our part, like the Good Samaritan. I don't think he was planning that day to pick that man up by the side of the road. But he was kind and expressed that kindness anyway, didn't he? Shelled money out of his own pocket, looked after the man. Sometimes we can just simply be kind out in the world without having to plan it, but that also shows who we are as Christians. Don't be puffed up, you know, or rather put off the opportunity to say a kind thing, but you know, write a kind note. Express your kindness towards someone that you're thankful for them. All those things express the idea of what kindness is. I heard somebody say concerning excuses with being kind, concerning the past of what somebody had did to them, well, it's hard to be kind based upon what they did. That's no excuse. If that were the case, think about Jesus then at Calvary. It's really hard for His Father to be kind to us based upon what He did for what we did to His Son at Calvary, right? Simply put, for us to be kind, as Genesis 39:21 says, is to be like God. I mean, if we're talking about the past and what it means to be kind, how did Joseph treat his brothers after the fact? Did he still express kindness towards them in helping them get food for their family? Boy, he could have really put a hurting on them, couldn't he? But he didn't. He still showed mercy, he showed forgiveness, he showed love, and he showed kindness. He still expressed that idea, and we must also remember that kindness has a way of coming back to us. As Paul said to the Galatians also, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what we show towards individuals is also what we're going to get in return. There's a quote I read one time. It said, three things in life are important. The first is to be kind. The second is to be kind. And the third is to be kind. It's interesting that the words, again, that we've looked at over the last several weeks all correlate together. Forgiveness, love, mercy, kindness. All of those words go together. But how do you express kindness? Well, brethren, if we're not kind, then we don't have the attitude, nor are we putting on the disposition of who Christ is. And believe me, I understand it's not always easy to be kind. You know, Larissa and I went through this, it seemed like this period of about several years that everywhere we ate, we always got the worst waiter. It didn't matter where we ate, what country we ate in, what town we ate in, we seemed to always get the worst waiter. But think about that waiter in return and what they're going through and having to put up with me. Sometimes we express kindness because it's simply who we are as Christians. Not always easy, but we do it because we love the Lord. And also remember, too, those kind words that you express sometimes can be an open door of opportunity to evangelize someone, right? That people might say, how can he be like that in this particular situation? How can he show kindness towards me based upon what I did to him? I had a lady one time, boy, she was really upset with me. She was letting me have it. And I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? Do I owe you an apology? Because I said, you're hollering at me like I did something to you. She said, no, sir, I'm sorry. I'm just having a bad day. Simple kindness, that's all it takes. We truly need to be kind because we are the sons of God. And what greater love God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, 1 John 3:1. Let us put on that disposition that we might show the love of God and who God truly is. And God expresses that kindness towards all of us in relation to our salvation. Remember again, it says in Colossians 2 that He showed that kindness through Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary, and you have the opportunity tonight to put Him on in baptism. That's the kindness God is expressing towards you. To repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and to put on Christ in baptism, Acts 22, 16. What are you waiting on, right? That's what Saul says. Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And if you're here tonight as a child of God and maybe your disposition hasn't always been kind, we've all been there, we have all struggled with it. If you need some encouragement or you just simply need us to pray for you because you need to be more kind, maybe you've got a difficult boss, maybe somebody you don't care to work with, we've all been there, right? But tomorrow, instead of being negative or being off, puttish or standing off, be kind towards them and see how far that gets you. Try it. If you can help, or if we can help you in any way, please make it be known as together we stand and as we sing.